Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager of Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We sincerely hope you have gone through all our financials, press release, and the PPT, which has been posted in our Investor Relations section on our website. We have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. So before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. So without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mukund sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I welcome you all to the conference call for the second quarter and half-year ended 30th September 2024. This quarter too turned out to be the lowest quarter in financial year 2025 for us, but I want to assure you that our long-term business potential remains robust. We are confident that the second half of the year will outperform the first half. Quarterly performance. Now, as far as the quarterly performance is concerned, we have achieved top line of ₹1,461 million, degrowth of 7% on year-on-year basis and 5% on sequential basis in quarter two. Our EBITDA stood at ₹425 million, degrowth by 17% on year-on-year basis as well as on sequential basis. We have witnessed degrowth of 5% in the bottom line on year-on-year basis and on sequential basis. Talking about the margin profile, EBITDA margin stood at 29% and PAT margin stood at 23% during the quarter two. There are a few factors that had impacted our quarter two, and I will throw some light on these factors as well as we proceed in this call. During the quarter, the company had a higher revenue reversal of ₹83 million compared to the previous quarter since revenue recognition criteria was not met as per the accounting standard. The revenue and margin toward this sales are deferred to quarter three. Raukaji will elaborate this point further. A slowdown in our export sales led to a decline in international sales, excluding the U.S. And some of this is because of the sales reversal as well. Our EBITDA margin is subdued majorly due to the lower top line, but we expect this to improve as we progress into the second half of this fiscal year. Talking about the segment-wise performance, as projected at the start of the fiscal 2025, we do not anticipate growth in domestic sales for this year. However, our U.S. business is expected to perform stronger in financial year 25, with U.S. sales having already increased by 24% on year-to-date basis. Human nutrition. The human nutrition segment declined during the quarter and contributed 68% in the revenue pie. it degrew by 6% on year-on-year basis and 2% on sequential basis. This decline in human nutrition is on account of low revenue realization in pharma API business. As we mentioned in our earlier calls as well, there is certain competition in our anti-inflammatory market. In the international markets, probiotic and nutrition business perform well. Animal nutrition. Our animal nutrition business contributed 12% to the revenue in quarter two. This segment grew by 5% on year-on-year basis, while it grew by 6% on sequential basis. Bioprocess. Our bioprocess business contributed 12% to the revenue in quarter two. This segment underperformed during the quarter by around 31% on year-on-year basis and 33% on sequential basis. The food business degrew by 42%, while non-food business reported growth of 24% on year-on-year basis. The major food business come from export market and sales reversals has impacted this. The specialized manufacturing business contributed 8% and grew by 17% on year-on-year basis and 9% on sequential basis. While the current quarter appears to be stronger, the previous quarter presented challenges based on the prevailing trends. Consequently, the anticipated growth for financial year 25 is expected to be in the single-digit range. Despite the influx of new competitors in our sector in recent years, we continue to observe increasing demand for our enzymes and probiotics in the US market. This is largely due to the strength of our brand. At the halfway point of the year, request to feature our formulated ingredient brand names on finished consumer products have already risen by 58% compared to last year. This indicates that our customer view our branded ingredients as a key selling point, reflecting the strength of our brand. We remain focused on our ongoing strategies and are also working on developing new biocatalyst molecules. In the last quarter, we introduced two new solutions and are collaborating with customers to finalize the offerings. A significant challenge for our US customer is the lack of familiarity with enzyme and probiotic testing, compounded by a fragmented and under-educated market for third-party testing services. This often leads to wasted resources as customers struggle with basic quality control requirements, which in turn places undue pressure on sales. To address this, we are establishing a full independent laboratory for enzyme and probiotic testing. This will allow us to leverage our testing expertise to support our customers in growing their brands, ultimately benefiting our ingredient sales as well. We also recognize that certain investment, particularly in the area of R&D, is essential for long-term growth. As reflected in our financials, significant resources are being allocated to these areas. We are actively exploring new opportunities and developing new products and molecules for biofertilizers and biopesticides within our agriculture portfolio. These offerings are expected to generate an additional couple of millions in revenue in the near future. With this, I conclude my remarks and now hand over the call to Rauka-ji. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidy numbers. Over to you, Rauka-ji.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health and wishing you all happy festivities. On the company's consolidated financial for the second quarter and half year fiscal year 2025, on year-on-year basis, our revenue has decreased from 1,578 million to 1,461 million, 7% decrease. Our EBITDA is decreased from 513 million to rupees 424 million and it stood at 29% as compared to 33% of our revenue. Profit before taxes decreased by rupees 57 million from rupees 479 million to rupees 422 million. Profit after tax, PAT is decreased by rupees 18 million from rupees 352 million to rupees 334 million. And this is 23% of our revenue as compared to 22% in the corresponding quarter. On Q-on-Q basis, our revenue is decreased by rupees 84 million. This is about 2% decrease from rupees 1,545 million to rupees 1,461 million. EBITDA is decreased by 88 million from rupees 512 million to rupees 424 million. And this is again, as mentioned, 33% in the previous quarter as compared to 29% this quarter. Profit before tax decreased by rupees 65 million from rupees 487 million to rupees 422 million. And PAT is decreased by rupees 16 million from rupees 350 million to rupees 334 million. On half yearly performance of the company, the revenues decreased by rupees 45 million from rupees 3,051 million to rupees 3,006 million. EBITDA decreased by rupees 17 million from rupees 953 million to rupees 936 million. And this is 31% of our revenue as compared to 31% in the previous year, six-month performance. Profit before tax is increased by rupees 16 million from rupees 893 million to rupees 909 million. PAT is increased by rupees 38 million from rupees 646 to 684 million. As Mukund has mentioned, our Q2 is affected because of a couple of things. One is the incremental higher revenue reversal of about 83 million as compared to the previous quarter. Since this is the requirement of Ind AS revenue recognition, because if the significant risk and reward has not passed on to the customer before the cutoff date, this is 30th September 24, then to that extent the revenue cannot be recognized during that period. And generally we have about 80 to 85 million of reversal, but this quarter this reversal is higher by 83 million. So this has impacted in a way the revenue. So to that extent, if you see the revenue is decreased, otherwise this quarter is flat as compared to the previous quarter. And if this revenue reversal would not have happened, then of course, because of the gross contribution of about 77% to 78% and gross profit margin of about 60% to 61%, our profits would have been higher. And as you know, the PAT is also about 23%. So to that extent, the PAT would have been higher in this quarter. But yes, this is the impact, and the revenue to that extent is deferred from quarter two to quarter three. So in spite of lower sales of 1% on YTD basis, if you see our profitability for the 6 months is improved, and the contribution is also on account of the higher income from other sources. Now, some of the numbers of our major subsidiary, JC Biotech during this quarter stood at revenue of 158 million, EBITDA of 20 million and PAT of about 5 million as compared to rupees 174 million of revenue and 17 million of EBITDA and 3 million of PAT. So it is showing continuous improvement, And for half yearly, Desi Biotech top line is 317 as compared to 308 million of first half of the FY 2024, and EBITDA of 44 million as compared to 26 million, and PAT is 13 million as compared to 1 million during last year's 6 months. Evoxx revenue stood at rupees 49 million, but still the EBITDA is negative 12 million, and PAT, because of, you know, depreciation and amortization, is about 19 million negative. As compared to Q2 of FY 2024, a top line of 64 million and 3 million of positive EBITDA and PAT of 3 million negative. For 6 months, Evoxx top line is 96 million as compared to 117 million, and EBITDA of 19 million negative as compared to 4 million last year, and PAT is 35 million as compared to 16 million negative last year. SciTech, which is a specialty manufacturing company for us, the top line stood at 120 million as compared to  103 million last year, and EBITDA is about 14 million as compared to 18 million. PAT is 3 million as compared to 7 million last Q1. For 6 months, SciTech has posted a growth of 16% in the top line from 200 million to 232 million, and EBITDA is increased from rupees 22 million to rupees 36 million, and PAT is increased from 8 million to 13 million. So this is also continuously showing, you know, the upward trend. Sale of our largest product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at 275 million rupees, and I think last quarter it was same to 75 million. And for 6 months, the product sold is of about 555 million as compared to 716 million last year first half. So it is like, you know, decreased significant, and the revenue is about 18% of total as compared to 23% last year, 6 months. Top customer contributed about 25% in Q2. And if we see 6 months, the contribution of top 10 customer is about 22% as compared to 27% last year. B2C segment has contributed about 1.14 million as compared to 1.1 million USD in the previous quarter. And healthcare breakups, Pharma India is about 366 million as compared to 375 in the last quarter. Probiotics and biocatalysts together constitute about 52 million as compared to 113 million. So India sells from 488 million to 419 million during this quarter. International sales in human healthcare is up from 466 million in Q2 of last year to, if we compare with the Q1 of last this year, it was 523 million. Now, during this Q2, the revenue from international market is up to ₹573 million. So this is continuously showing a upward trend. In international business, the major contribution, as you all are aware, is from our USA company. So there we see continuously a upward trend. In Q2 of last year, it was 403 million rupees. To Q1 of this year, it was 494 million rupees. And Q2 of current year, it stood at 532 million. Just a minute. So I think our R&D expenditure, as we generally mention about our spending on R&D during Q2 Q2, we have spent about 72 million as compared to 62 million last year. And our capex is about 13 million as compared to 2 million last year. So total R&D expenditure in 6 months is 161 million as compared to 126 million last year. So R&D constitute about 6% of our top line as compared to the 4% in Q2 of last year. This is without considering the intercompany elimination. If we eliminate our Evoke spending, then the R&D expenditure is about 5% in Q2 as compared to 3% in Q2. That was all from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you can press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harini Dedia from Tamohara Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question was on Serafio Peptidase. We had called that out specifically as a reason for degrowth in India in Q1. And we had said that, you know, there's some inventory that's not being run down at the customer end, which is taking longer than expected. Is this still the problem in India? Or is the problem a little more structural in nature, or is it a temporary issue? Just wanted to understand that.
So, sorry, I didn't get your name, but Harini. Huh? Harini.
Harini, Harini.
Harini, Sera cell is down, but it is not down to the extent what these numbers are showing. Last year, the Sera cell was there in the first half, and it was down into the next half. So on overall basis, if you ask me, it is down somewhere around 7-8%. We expect that will be down by 7-8% on the volume basis.
Got it. And so are we expecting then some sort of normalization in the sales in Q3, Q4, or like in general in the second half, or this will just continue, the run rate has come off?
So we were already saying that there is going to be some competition, which we do expect in the Sera area and this area particularly. And that is where, like, we are coming at it, like we forecasted this year as well, like our sales in this area will be down somewhere around 7-8%.
Got it. But given that in H1 we are down much more, we are expecting that H2 the we won't be down double digits in Sera.
That is correct.
Okay. And my second question was, you know, at the start of the year, we were very clear in our communication in stating that India is unlikely to grow this year. I'm guessing because of Sera predominantly. And then US, we were confident would grow ahead of the rest of, the rest of the geographies. And we were still confident of a double-digit growth playing out for the whole year. So what has not panned out according to our plans? So is it that India degrowth is steeper than our expectations, or is it that something has gone off in the rest of the world that is really hurting us?
So Harini, like we, let me correct you, like earlier we were expecting a double digit growth, but this time like we feel that we will have a single digit growth, and that is what I made it clear in my initial remarks. Now, what we were thinking was like some of the sales from the other areas which we were expecting to come out, they are slightly delayed. And that is where we see that this year probably like on the Indian front, probably we will not have any growth, right? And that will impact on our, and that is where it's difficult for us to get into the double digit growth mode. We do feel that the next half will be better, but at the same time, we may not be able to achieve double digit growth.
Got it. But even to achieve a single-digit growth number, next two quarters we would have to do about 350 crores or, right, or 170.
Yeah, so if you really look at it, like as Raukaji also explained you, like we had some sales reversal, which is already, like if it wouldn't have been there, probably would have been flat. And these are the accounting practices, even though the invoices are there, but the material has not reached to the customer. Some of the delays are because of the shipping delays and all the other airlines delays or whatever we can call it. But that is not in our hand, right? So those sales will be realized in the next quarter.
Got it. So that will naturally add to the growth number in Q3 then.
Yeah.
Got it. So just one feedback from our end, you know, if this could have been cited in the presentation or we could have done the call on Saturday or Monday itself, you know, that might have just helped calm some nerves around here. But otherwise, thank you so much for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjo Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi. So earlier you had guided that your EBITDA growth will be 2x the revenue growth. Does that equation still hold given that given the revision in the guidance?
Can you repeat, Sudhirji? I didn't get your question.
Yeah, in last quarter call, you said that the EBITDA growth will be 2 to 3x of revenue growth.
Right.
So does that equation hold even now? So if you are saying that revenue growth for full year FY25 will be single digit, will the EBITDA growth still be 2x that?
So if you really look at, let me answer your question. If you really look at the degrowth, so if the equation, if you are talking about the sale is, say, down by 5% on Q1Q, the EBITDA is down by 17%. So that's how you can see the equation in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
On YTD basis, if you really see the sale number is down, say, about 1%, but EBITDA is down by 2%. So equation is, in that sense, when you have the incremental sales, your EBITDA always keeps on increasing at least 2 to 2.5 or 3 times. That's how it is. So you can see the impact in that sense.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Sir, I request you to come a bit close to your handset.
Yeah, better now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, first question was, what is the reason for higher competition in our Serrapeptides portfolio? Is it on account of new product which is coming in the market or something else? Because we tend to have a very high market share in that product anyway. So what was the reason for higher competition?
So when you have like very high percentage of market share, it's always you're bound to lose some of it because whatever you try to do, at some point, like some people will come up with the same product, right? So the competition is for the same product and not for the not with the other molecule. So the molecule is still intact.
Sure, sir. Sir, that is one question. Second is, sir, every year, every quarter, you break down the human nutrition revenues between India and international. Can you give that number, please?
Raukaji, can you give those numbers?
So, our human nutrition pharma sales has been 419 million in current quarter as compared to 593 million in the quarter 2 last year. Our international sales has been 573 million in the current quarter compared to 466 million in last year's September quarter.
Sure. Thank you for this. And Rauka ji, what would be the revenue R&D expenditure for the 6 months as compared to last half?
But I will give you the number.
Yes, just a moment. So in this 6 months, we have spent 143 million in revenue expenditure in R&D compared to 121 million in last year's 6 months.
Okay.
And sure. Capex. We have already explained capex, right? 18 million and 5 million.
Last year it was 18. This year it is 18 million. Last year it was 5 million.
Correct.
Sure, sir. Sure, sir. And sir, any news on how the new launches are doing in the current year, both in pharma and nutraceuticals in US?
So, sir, in biocatalyst areas, we have just come out with a couple of solutions, as I mentioned. In US, there are no new launches. It's the same products we are focusing more right now.
Sure. Okay. And any traction on the launches that you had made last year?
So those are we were talking about on the paid food and I think we were talking about the sugar one, right? So those areas are growing, and probably those are the ones which are driving the sales at this point of time. We expect it to grow further as we move on.
Sure, sir. And sir, biocatalytics segment, pharma-driven, we were thinking that this year would be the year where the segment sales ramp up significantly. Can we expect a positive surprise in the second half?
We're expecting in third and fourth quarter, but probably what we feel is it is a little bit delayed. We do have the molecules ready, but to commercialize it and to take to the sales on a higher level, probably this may not happen in this year, but maybe the next year. But yeah, the fourth quarter will be a little better than what we had on all the two or three quarters, what we can say.
Got it. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. Sir, we've been in existence for such a long time, more than 15 years. Even today, we are at 600 crore company in terms of top line. What do you think will it take for us to grow at 25% consistently, considering the size of the market and the addressable TAM that we have? Do you think we are lacking on products, R&D, or is it our sales engine?
It takes time. Even though I feel 25% growth is little impossible or little difficult to do it, not impossible, but difficult to do it. But what we need is more R&D support and more products to come out as we move on. And we are focusing on many of these areas, particularly into the R&D areas. We are trying to increase our R&D capacities. Probably it will take some more time. Till that time, probably we will not see the 25% kind of growth, which is a little difficult to achieve.
Sir, which are the Indian companies who are our competitors both in India and overseas, and what would be their size?
So in India, I wouldn't say there is a much of a competition, but a lot of the competition comes from the global players where their R&Ds are much stronger, and probably it will take some more time for us to reach to those levels.
We got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Navya Gautam from Sycomoro Advisors. Please go ahead. The line for the current participant has been disconnected. Moving on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Rakshmi Narayan KG from Sunga Investments. Please go ahead.
One question. So if we look at our August meeting, where we actually mentioned
Sorry
that...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Could you come a bit close to your handset?
Is it better?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So, in the August conference call, you had mentioned that you would actually grow somewhere between 12 to 15%, and start of the year, you mentioned that you would actually grow in a particular range. Now, were you surprised in terms of the difficulties which you are facing now, and how do you think you will end the year at, and what actually changed in the last 7 to 8 weeks?
Lakshmi Narayan ji, Lakshminarayan ji, what we see is like some of the sales which we are expecting from the biocatalyst area to come into the next one or two quarters, those are going to be deferred. Right? From the very beginning, we were anticipating that the Indian sales will be more or less muted this year, and we were anticipating the growth to come from the US. For India side, like we were expecting the growth to come from the biocatalyst and other areas, which is deferred, and that is where we feel that double-digit growth is a little difficult, but we will be having single-digit growth at this point of time. That is what like we feel, that is what we are communicating.
That's for India, right? Or for the entire company?
Entire company.
Okay, okay. So, you know, in terms of, you know, within India, in last year, I think Sera was almost like 131 crores or so. So this year at this trend rate, what will be end at for Sera?
We will be expecting about 115 to 120 here.
Got it. And the SciTech business, right, are we seeing growth in SciTech? Because I think in FY24, we are growing pretty healthy there. So how do you anticipate growth in that part of the India business?
This year we expect a good growth to come from the SciTech.
Okay. And overall India would grow at what rate, sir, this year?
Single digit probably, if you consolidate everything.
Okay. And how is Europe shaping up? Because we see a decline in the first, in this quarter. But how do you think about Europe?
Evoque's revenue is on a lower side in the first half, but we expect that it should give smaller growth in the last year at the end of the year, because as we were talking, and I think like we might have talked last time, probably we were expecting like some of the contract in the Evoque's which has been signed. So we expect a positive this year, particularly at the end of the year. So next up will be better from the Evoque side.
Yeah, so I believe we had some approvals in the food side in Europe, and I think not recently, but even several quarters back, you had mentioned that we are getting some approvals, and that could actually open up a lot of opportunities in Europe. So on the food part in Europe, what are we tracking? Is the gestation period is longer? Can you just help me understand that part?
Yes, there is a gestation period which is a little bit longer. At the same time, there are like certain issues, like some of the issues are coming with the freights and all of those areas. The freight cost is also on a higher side. Some of the other areas also are also affecting some credits and some other areas, and we are working how do we solve those problems.
Got it. Last question is related to the rest of the world. And if you look at the rest of the world in animal feed and non-animal feed, where do we see growth? Is the growth coming from animal feed business or the non-animal feed business?
Growth. Animal feed, which is segment.
Animal feed, like we will be expanding into some other areas particularly. And we are working on those. At this point of time, this year, I don't see a much of a growth to come from the animal feed, but we are trying to explore like some other areas, like the ruminant areas and like solutions for aquaculture and all of those other areas we are trying to explore at this point of time. Non-animal or like non-food bioprocessing area is looking very decent for this year particularly.
Profitability when with compared to last year, this year would we end at a better picture than last year in terms of our operating profit or the net profit?
No, I think we should look at the kind of numbers we had last year. At least we are likely to outperform once we get a single digit growth.
Got it. Got it. I mean, is there any surprise that actually came in the last few months has actually changed?
No, some of the sales, as Mukund has mentioned, is not picked up. So, like, you know, customers, they are taking their own time. They are initially, you know, when, as you mentioned, in the month of August, where we could see some kind of visibility. But then there are, like, you know, several things which I think customers are also, like, looking at it. And therefore, you know, the Indian sales is not picking up. And in USA, if you really see, the growth is there. And now they are working that, you know, most of the nutraceutical customers, so they use our branded formulated product name in their, you know, product. So instead of using any kind of a specific ingredient, now we are trying to convince our customers that, look, this is our brand name and this we are supplying. So you use on your nutraceutical the name of our product. So it becomes, you know, in that sense, customer centric, as well as, you know, the kind of a brand visibility we create over a period of time. So a couple of such issues are there, which I think are taking some time to shape up.
Got it, sir. Thank you. I'll get back into the book.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. Just continuing with the question Lakshmi asked. See, how does, because, sorry to harp on this, but just to understand your business better, when you say we have some visibility, but that, so that visibility in most companies we see is based on the POs which they get from the customers. And this is the schedule with which they will supply the product.
No.
So
no, how does sometimes, you know, trials are going on, like on various biocatalysis. And customers also taking trials. So, you know, getting a order for a big, you can say, commercial order takes time. So initially you gave it, yes, I think a couple of trials are going successful. Hopefully now next quarters we shall be getting the, you know, a big order. But then customer, they may take their time because they have to also reschedule various, you know, internally various many processes also. So for that sometime it takes time.
But Nikhilji, to answer your question, our business doesn't go with the PO basis. We hardly always have any POs. The number of POs at any given time is not more than 10-12 CR.
Okay. So, sir, two questions here, two follow-ups. One is when you say the customer is undergoing trials or validations, in that sense, and it could be naive to say, but does it mean that the business which we were expecting gets deferred over time, or do you think that the business is lost completely? Because if he's taking some time and validations and that timeline has shifted, then probably it will come in FY26, what we were thinking of growth in this year. Would that be right assumption, or is it like the project gets scrapped completely?
No, it's most of the time, like, say, this is a novel solution, so what you come out. And basically, it takes time because a lot of time, like, they need to file the DMF, they need to file many other areas, and there can be multiple possibilities which are not in your hand, how long it can take. You can always, like, estimate based on the feedbacks in other areas, but sometimes it always differs. And this is what the case is. Sometimes you're optimistic. We were a little bit more optimistic that this should come up like as early as possible, but we realized that it will take some more time.
Okay, and secondly, now coming to your near-term guidance on second half, you said for the full year we should grow at single digit. Even if I adjust for this 8 crores, it seems we have to grow in second half by at least 15-20%. On a year-on-year basis to get that number of 6-7%. Now,
yeah,
considering the lack of visibility which you also have, how do you build confidence that this kind of a growth is achievable in the near term?
The way I can look at it is basically whatever the numbers I can see forecast at this point of time, I can see that we are not going to degrow, we are going to grow. What will be that number, that still we need to really work out, which will be the really realistic numbers.
Okay. But you don't have any direct communication from the clients in terms of, so between the time you get an order and your delivery, what would be that time period generally? Like, is it a 1 month kind of a time period when you have to supply from the day you get the order?
It differs on product to product. Sometimes it's 6-7 days, sometimes like it's a month.
Okay. Okay, fine. I'll come back in with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyas Gattani from HT Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a couple of questions. So the first one was on the Europe business. We see like a very sharp decline. So does that indicate like we've lost any customers or, you know, lost market share over there? And even the rest of the world, we see like a sharp decline. Even if we adjust for, you know, the deferred revenue, even then, you know, just trying to understand, you know, that 35% drop.
I don't see there is any customer loss as of now. Yes, there is a small one which was like $1 million which we realized last year, which we are knowing that this year will not be coming up because of some other reasons, because they changed the process in other areas. Besides that, there is no customer loss what we can expect this year on the European business. We expect that this should pick up.
Okay, okay. And a second question, so basically are we like lacking on the product innovation side? So for like if I look at Novozymes, Christian Hansen, you know, the combined entity commentary and their guidance, they just up their guidance and they are, you know, even more positive versus we are like losing sales. They're actually increasing guidance and we are losing. So are we like, you know, falling behind on the R&D front compared to them in terms of product, or, you know, just trying to understand that?
So if you ask like about Novozyme and these people, they are much ahead, no ifs and buts. That is where like we have our own niche areas and other areas. We are like really focusing on the R&D areas. We are developing our R&D capabilities. We have a plan to increase it by threefold, and this is what like our all focuses are. We will need some more time to really go on and take on like the Novozymes and other people in all the different segments. At the same time, we are working really hard to go to that level.
Got it. So by when do we expect the R&D to pick up, you know, to 3-4 times that you are mentioning?
We are building up our new R&D center right now in Nasik. Probably this should be fully operational by the end of next year. Then we will have a, like slowly we'll really wrap up on the R&D front.
Got it. Okay. All right. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Kakhar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, Anuj.
Yeah, thank you so much. Although most of the things that have been discussed is, you know, something was on the top of my head also. I'm not too, too much knowledgeable on accounting and other things, but I'll ask very basic questions which an investor would like to know. I'm invested in a company for about 2 years or something. You know, you can see easily see a panic in the share price in the last 2 days. I think it dropped 25% after the results were released. You have explained that the sales were down because of some accounting or some booking of the sales changes that have happened, which I understand. But right now we are already 1.5 months into quarter three. So you would have some kind of visibility in terms of how the sales look like in quarter three, in which we are currently. If you do a 2x of what we are as on date, so do you see we are growing from the quarter two results that we have already declared? That is,
Manoj, it's a forward kind of a guidance, but I can see that probably we should like we should do better than quarter two. That's all what I can say.
Okay, thank you. And the other one is, I can see that looking at the balance sheet that we are constantly going on the reserves part of it. So is there any plan of any kind of reward to the shareholders in terms of buyback or bonus in the future?
Those decisions have to be taken by the board. Like, if you really look at it, we increase the dividend and we continue to our dividend policy. That's all what I can say. Probably, like, buyback is not a one
decision.
No. But Rauka ji can give more clarity on that. Rauka ji?
No, of late, I think buyback is not an efficient because it is also taxable again in the hands of the recipient. So for shareholders, there will be, you know, cash outflow. So as you rightly mentioned, I think dividend is what, you know, every year we have been increasing. So that is what is the way forward.
Sure. One small last question. I was listening on the news that there might have been some impact to this quarter because of Red Sea related issues in terms of the deliveries and all that. Was there any impact of the Red Sea concerns?
The freight cost is on a higher side, Anuj. We have an impact of about 1.5 crore in this quarter, particularly because of the freight cost.
Okay. And is that because
the delays in the shipments?
Okay. So the operating profit margin, that's the reason why it came down from the range of 32-35 to now 29 in this quarter. Is that the reason, or is there something else contributing, like a product mix or something else?
It's also like we need to have a growth because, like, when you talk about the profit and other things, your expenses are more or less fixed. And if your revenue growth is on a downside, then probably, like, you will see that the percentage has to go down, right?
So it was
That is a major impact. As Mukund rightly mentioned, that is a major impact. If the sale is down because of your higher gross margin, gross contribution, and fixed expenses remaining at same level, the impact is major on EBITDA as well as on PAT.
Okay, so if we use that 77-80 crore, which was not booked, then we will be at the same level, around 33 crore.
It's not 77 crore. It is, I think, 83 million. That is what we have explained to you.
Okay. So if we account for that, then we'll be around the same margin, like 33%.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all. Thank you so much for answering and giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vivek, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Is it audible, sir?
Yes, Vivek.
Yeah.
Sir, I have two questions, sir. How many R&D scientists do we have as on date, sir? This is my first question, and I would like to ask another question, sir. At what EBITDA margin we are expected to close this financial year 2025, sir?
Now, I think I don't have an exact number, Vivek, but probably we have more than 150 scientists at this point of time put together. Put together maybe more, but I don't have an exact number as of now, but should be more than 150 plus. That's what I can say.
Okay.
Your second question is how
How much EBITDA margin we can expect for this financial year, sir?
It's a difficult question. Rauka ji can answer that.
No, the thing is that we are on a declining trend. We have decreased.
So, I mean, you know, once the revenue increases, I think the improvement will definitely be there. So we expect that EBITDA margin should be in the range of anywhere more than 30%. So it will be in the range of 30%-33%.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. It is good answer. Sir, I'll just fall back in the queue, sir, if I have another question, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harini Dedhia from Tamohara Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for allowing the follow-up. Just one question on, you know, when we say R&D is where we would like to invest more, and, you know, that's one piece that's sort of we feel that we can do better on. If you can help us understand what are the kind of things that we want to do? Would it be more on hiring of new scientists, or would it be some infrastructure or some equipment or some segment? Like, if you can just help us understand what do we want to add on that side right now?
It's a combination of all. If you really look at it, we don't have a space as of now. Because of the space, we cannot hire the people. And there are a lot of like new equipments which we'll have to do that. We need to increase the number of products as well. Yeah, so it's a combination of all. We are working on all the different technologies as well at this point of time. We have some breakthroughs, but we had to like, we will have to scale it up, basically.
Okay. Would it be possible to just share the kind of things, like, you know, if you can just help us understand, you know, maybe at a later stage, if you could put, you know, put out some, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the kind of breakthroughs we have, or what are these, the new things that we're working on. This helps us understand better.
In terms of R&Ds, what you're talking about?
Yeah, in terms of, because I remember in the February call, you know, when Mr. Rathi was also on call, he had specifically called out that he was very proud of the work that they've done in the R&D team for the last 2-3 years. So just wanted to know that what was being done, and, you know, where is it that we want to go?
See, there are like a lot of biosolutions which are specific, and you need to do a lot of protein engineering on that, right? And we are now getting a hands to that. We are doing and we are developing a lot of molecules. We understand how to develop it now, but we really need to scale it up. If you talk about like all these biocatalysts and other areas, probably those are the outcome of our protein engineering, basically. It's difficult science, but at the same time, it's possible. You need to do many other areas, particularly, not only like development of the strains, but applications, fermentation R&Ds, formulation R&Ds, and all of this we are like trying to work at this point of time. And we will have to expand those. I won't be able to give you more specific, because those are going to be the somehow like the IP kind of a properties, and I don't want to talk on those and in the public domain.
Okay, fair enough. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Hori from Progressive Shares PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, two questions from my side. First one being, with the changes in the US market as well as the political scenario over there, do you think it is a boon or is it a bane for AETL?
I don't know, honestly. Time will tell. But what I can say is we have a strong base in the US, in particular, probably it should help. But you never know what kind of like import duties and other things Trump will come up and what will be the impact.
So because his focus was to make America great once again, and we do have quite a lot of cash and other equivalents in the US. So would you be looking at some acquisitions over there to boost the sales from the US market?
I can't comment at this point of time. So really, like, we'll have to see how the things pan out, Rohitji.
Sir, anything, any rough work that you have done or anything that we should anticipate over the next one and a half or 2 years or something like that?
No, in the next 1 year, I don't expect like any acquisition, at least in the US particularly.
Okay. So my second question is related to EVOX. In the previous quarter, you did mention that you were looking for some sales that were supposed to come through from there, somewhere around 1.4, 1.5 million kind of euro sales that was supposed to come from there. Has that passed through, or are there some difficulties over there as well?
No, what I said was that is fine. Like, that is what we were like expecting. We do have a PO of that, but it is like pan out for a whole year, and that is where like we expect that the next half year will be the better for the US, and probably like we will have a higher sales than the last year, particularly in the US.
So many of these customers, clients from the international market, they must be trying to make their own budgets as the year is coming to an end. So what sort of outlook exactly are they sharing with you in terms of sales as well as the margin profile for us?
Are we talking on Evox?
On Evox and other customers as well, other European, Latin American or maybe North American customers that we have.
Can you please repeat your question, Rohitji? I'm not real clear.
So many of these customers, they must be making their budgets, right, for the next year, since their financial year comes to an end very soon. So what is their outlook and what sort of conversations are you having with them in terms of the growth for AETL?
No, I won't be able to give you that number because a lot of time like these customers won't come out with your numbers or the expectations what they do have. Because our business doesn't run on the PO basis, it runs on the PO basis, but there are not like anything like which is a long-term contracts. So it's very difficult to tell me how that will be really come out. But what generally we anticipate is how many customers, new customers may be added or what business they can give. So that is how like generally we work rather than like taking the POs for the whole years. So, but it's an ongoing process. So at this point of time, I don't have an exact number, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rui.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzymes Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.